So I want to begin this morning with an experiment, and you'll forgive me with it. I want to start the first line of a song or a hymn and see if you can finish it. We were doing so well this morning, so let's see how we do. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Very good. We could go pretty far, I have the sense. Okay, so rejoice, rejoice. Oh, wow. This is going really well. You're getting the hang of this. I got two more. Okay, good Christian friends, rejoice. This is like a choir. Wow. Okay, great, great. And one more. Joy to the world. Excellent. And you didn't even embarrass me for my voice. This is wonderful. I loved it. We sang about joy. And on the third Sunday of Advent, we are beginning to expect joy. If your family is anything like ours, you build traditions around Christmas of joy. You put up the Christmas tree. You have movies that you watch. You have music that you can complete just a little bit like we did here. Maybe even you're better than we are and you make some cookies. We end up buying a bunch of ours, but maybe you do some of that. You look at some Christmas lights. You hear the story of Christmas. You are looking and expecting joy to show up. So this morning, let us unpack a little bit of this expectation of joy. God, through the prophets and the Holy Spirit, has promised us joy. We have been unpacking these expectations of peace and hope this season as we've been preparing for the coming of Christ. So I can begin to imagine that the words from John the Baptist we just heard John read for us this morning were a bit jarring. We heard John the Baptist say, "You brood of vipers." We didn't hear him say, "Joy to the world." We didn't hear him sing like you all just did so lovely. That title, "Brood of Vipers," is not going to sit well with crowds. It's not going to bring in thousands of you sitters. It's not going to win awards. But John the Baptist is up to more than growing the church and more than assaging those who are sitting next to him. He's preparing the way of Jesus. He is a prophet. John the Baptist, known for wearing camel hair and eating locusts, he does not have a job description of comforting the afflicted. He afflicts the comfortable. Repent and turn around. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Live out God's way. We heard some of those words just a little bit ago. John calls those who have come to the Jordan for baptism to behave, not just to believe. Let their actions reflect a change in their lives. And let's remind ourselves for a moment who he was talking to. Who are those who gathered in the crowds around him? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious zealots and the temple administrators, along with the ordinary folks, the ones whose neighbors urge them to come along as well. So why did this prophet stand up and say, "You brood of vipers." They were taking advantage of the poor and the disadvantaged, the widowed and the orphaned. John is preparing the way for the ministry of Jesus, who's going to turn the world upside down for a kingdom in which the first will be last and the last will be first. This doesn't sound like Christmas yet, does it? Not exactly. The group who has come for baptism is not yet left off the hook with cheap grace, and all shall be well. The prophet's call to reflect on the action is powerful. In fact, if you caught it, he called out three groups: the crowd at large, the tax collectors, and then the soldiers. Three different levels of responsibility. The broadest, the ones who should give from their excess, sharing with those in need. This ought to sound a little familiar. When you have more than you minimally need, where are you sharing with those in need? That ought to sound a little familiar. The tax collectors, those who have a group for more opportunity for corruption, are held to a standard of fairness and honesty. And soldiers, a little bit surprising, often thought not to be present, encouraged not to use their power to take advantage, but to cultivate contentness. Cultivate contentness. Now, the brood of vipers are not without an opportunity to change and grow. But it's a hard road. Thank God we don't know the future, or else we'd never get out of bed. The playwright Tracy Letts writes in his play, August, the August County, because the challenges of humanity when they're revealed are often, you and I know this, more than we can seem to handle. It often feels a little bit hard, but it's with joy that we give thanks to God, that it's prophets like Zephaniah that we heard this morning, that God knows a bit more of this future. The prophecy of Zephaniah that was written in the 7th century before Jesus gives us a little more sense of this. I'm going to give you a little sense of it too. He laments that in a time of corruption and idolatry, injustice and pain, wonder if that doesn't sound a little bit like 2018. There's the way of the Lord in contrast to what goes on around us. Hear it in these words: do not be afraid. Do not let your hands grow weak. Sounds an awful lot like don't let arthritis get overtaking you. God is in your midst. God will renew you. God will restore you. My friends, who are the brood of vipers today? Who needs to hear the message of turning around and facing the way of Jesus? Where are the opportunities we have to call upon our political representatives to account for sharing with those in need? Are there sufficient low to moderate income housing in our area for our brothers and sisters across moderate incomes to live in our area? Did you know that our ministerium has started that conversation here in our area, to say, are there enough places for our brothers and sisters to live here in this area with rental housing? Where are the needs that we can share when we have more than we need? Did you know that I give thanks to God that we count approximately 150 coats that came in our coat drive. We're actually not even sure. There were so many coats that filled our lobby back in this corner that as we gave out the call, that you all said, I have more than I need, and I want to bless those who do not have enough. I think this is an actual picture of Janice Bowers taking your coats to bless those in need. Our joy comes from serving God and acting as God's people now. Have you heard about the missionary in Africa who was walking when he heard the ominous noises of the lion behind him? He stopped to pray. And he said, "Oh Lord, I pray that the lion behind me is a good and Christian lion." There was some silence when he heard these words, "Oh Lord, I thank you for the food that I am about to receive." There are times, oh friends, when we cannot just pray. We need to take some action, like running and praying. I'm not discouraging that we just pray. Praying without prayerful action is an incomplete faith. I'm not saying that lions are going to come and eat you. Don't hear me to say that. What I am saying is that our joy comes from where it is that we are actively serving, where it is that we are putting our faith in action. On this third Sunday of Advent, probably action too, we remember that we expect joy as a part of preparing for the coming of Christ. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for Christ who turns the world right side up. We light the pink candle today to prepare. It's a visual reminder that there is something uniquely different about the Joy Sunday. It's called Gaudet Sunday. In the Latin, Gaudet means joy. And joy is not just supersized happiness. It's not just happiness that we feel deeper or feel longer. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, alongside love and peace and patience and happiness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Did anyone have to memorize all the fruits of the Spirit at any one point? All of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is a gift that God gives us. And yet, friends, we can expect joy. Rejoice is a musical call to expect God's joy again. Zephaniah reminds us these prophetic interruptions give us a glimpse of our future as well as where Christ has already come. Our joy has been and will be fully realized. It moves us from a place of fear. We hear that a lot. Do not be afraid, to rejoice. As we join our voices to sing these songs of joy, we expect God's joy in our lives, even in the midst of challenge. God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. God will renew and restore using even us. Let us make ourselves available to God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.